our shit together?
I mean, we have a script.
We have a podcast, and we've had it for several years. So yeah, how many people can say that? Recently, well, actually a lot, but whatever. Recently,
but what? Most podcasts only last, like, what, 6 months? How many episodes?
Really? Where'd you get that stat from?
What? Podcast.com?
Heather from the wedding?
That from her ass.
Heather from the wedding. She was like, oh my God, you guys have been, like, doing podcasts for so long. That's amazing. And we were like, oh, we just do it to hang out.
Also, she's really nice. So, I mean.
Heather.
Yeah, I think, hi, Heather.
I'm sure she meant, like, podcasts that aim to make revenue.
We definitely
like podcasts that are trying to like get advertisers and producers and things like that. We're just doing it for us.
True.
Like thank you tell her, who are listening, but
yeah, we did tell her like really just for our friendship and like our psyches, because otherwise, who knows what would happen mentally anyway.
Yeah. And we really like talking, obviously, and we have a lot of thoughts. So
yeah,
this is We Have Thoughts.
Yeah, it is. This is We Have Thoughts. So hi, y'all. Welcome back. Like Joy said, where We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Crystal.
I'm Joy.
Oh, my God. It's noted in the master document.
I thought we were alphabetical. What happened?
It's always Anna, Crystal, then Joy. So if it's Crystal, it's Joy, then Anna.
She had it written down, Joy. You didn't read the...
It's in the master document!
I literally looked at the master document like an hour ago. How did I not remember that? Wow.
Okay, so do you want me to start from the top or just keep going?
Go for
it. Just go. They know who we are.
Okay, yeah. So I'm Crystal.
I'm Joy.
And I'm Anna.
Thank God. Okay. That took forever. And we're... on the second movie of our Oscar Rewind series, where we are going through the Best Picture nominees of the 2011 Oscars and giving our unfiltered thoughts. Today, we're discussing Black Swan, starring Natalie Portman, Mila Kunis, and Vincent Cassel. Written by Mark Heyman, Andreas Hines, and John J. McLaughlin. Directed by Darren Aronofsky, Black Swan is about Nina, a talented but unstable ballerina on the verge of stardom. Pushed to the breaking point by her artistic director and a seductive rival, Nina's grip on reality slips, plummeting her into a waking nightmare. Along with Best Picture, it was nominated for Best Director, Darren Aronofsky, Best Cinematography, Matthew Libatic, and Best Film Editing, Andrew Weisbloom. It won for Best Actress, Natalie Portman, with 5 nominations total and 1 win. This is Black Swan. So, friends, what do we think of Black Swan?
It's fucking great. It's fucking amazing. Talented, brilliant, incredible, amazing. It has all the things I love. It has drama. It has dance. It has gays. It has Sebastian Stan. Acting.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right.
The boutique. Oh, my God. Cinematography. It has all of it.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this season for us to do it. I'm so excited, bitch.
So I'm assuming we've all seen this before, right?
Yes.
Okay, right.
I forgot how much of a horror film this is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so horror-y. It's so good.
And the fact that you both watch it? I think it's
just the right amount of horror. It's not over the top with, like, jump scares, at least to me anyway. It's in the right moments. It elevates the scenes when it needs to. I think it's elevated by the music. The music mm-hmm. is really loud and then cuts off at just a moment to emphasize, like, this is an important moment of the scene or the movie. And I think it's really well edited, and how we don't exactly know what's going on. We're kind of in Nina's head too, of like, why am I seeing myself everywhere? Like, I think of, I know I'm jumping ahead, but like the scene in the club, all of that, like I paused it because I wanted to see what each image was. You see like Vincent Cassell, her director. And then you see like glimpses of her mom, and then glimpses of Nina herself everywhere. Like, and then them dancing with the guys. Like, that sequence is so fantastic because it feels chaotic. It looks chaotic. It sounds chaotic, but like in a non-chaotic way, if that makes any sense.
Oh, dead air. We love dead air here. It is our best friend.
No, I was just thinking the same
dead
thing.
Dead air brought to you by.
This is a great episode.
By nobody, because we can't get sponsored because we keep doing this. No, the editing is so good, and it ties in with the cinematography of it all. I really love and appreciate that instead of giving us like what would be a technical way to see the dance sequences, we're in there with her. We're on the stage. We're in her head. We're following her limbs, and we're following the other characters, the other dancers on the stage. It was, you could appreciate the dance as like a person who appreciates dance, but it was about the story. It was about the character, and the dance just kind of like added to it. So I love that you're like following her, and there's just like, it's fast and it's kind of sloppy. And it's like, it's just all of her emotions, all of the confusion, all of the insecurity, all of that was in the camera work. Oh, fucking brilliant. Loved it.
This movie has, to me, one of the scariest scenes, and one of like my biggest nightmare is in this movie. And as a habitual nail biter, the scene where she's pulling and it keeps going down her finger, literally I've had that nightmare since I was like a little girl, and then to see it actualized on screen, scares me.
All that body horror stuff, really? I watched it the first time I saw it because I was just like, but like I knew that I what I remember from this movie was it was a wild ride, and all that like body stuff really bothered me. So I was like, I don't want to see. I know what's happening. I don't need to see it. That stuff where she's taking like the feather out of her back and she has it in her finger. Excellent sequence, fantastic. But I was like, and then when she like her knees bend the other way, I screamed out loud.
My neighbor. I felt that in my knees.
Yeah, the only one I didn't watch was the finger one because
I get it. So I love, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, I love dance. Dance is like my favorite thing. I wasn't a dancer really, but I appreciate the hard work it takes, and I love how you don't have to know a language. Like the language of dance is universal, and I love that because anyone can watch it. Even if you are hard of hearing, you can feel, it kind of taps on every sense of you. So like a wide range of people can enjoy dance, and I think that's really cool. So the opening sequence was fantastic.
Yes.
I know they do the same like spinning shot around her when she's dancing, but it's so effective. I wish I had more of like ways to describe how good this is, but it's going to keep being me being like, this was great. This was good. Love this. Good, good, good. Like no notes, literally. I have like maybe 4 lines of notes. That's it. Like it was just so good.
Same. I literally have 3 notes. I was like, they'll carry the conversation. I'll just add in what I think. I also appreciate that it's, for the most part, Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman doing the dancing. Like, it shows, I love being able to see the full shot of them doing the dancing and not just, like, have it cut away in spots where you're like, that's the double, that's the double. And the double did a lot of work, and she did great work. A lot of the feet movements and harder turns and things. But I loved their them doing the dancing. I thought it was really great.
I don't know if you guys remember when it came out, but all that controversy about the dance double and how she wasn't appreciative of the fact that Natalie Portman didn't, you know, bring attention to her in her Oscar campaign. Even the producer of the movie themselves called her and say, hey, can you not give any more interviews? Because this is not looking good for Natalie for her Oscar campaign. Because she was saying, like, you know, I was her double and I did all these scenes and blah, blah, blah. And I remember the campaign was saying Natalie did like 90, there's a quote, it's 90% of the dancing. And the dance double was like, well, no, that's not true. And so she was upset because she's like, I put in, because she's in, there's like a, I think it's ABC News interview she gives. And she's just like, I have no ill will against Natalie Portman or Darren Aronofsky or anything. But she's like, I just think it's a little bit insulting where I spent 23 years perfecting this art. And then people think that Natalie Portman can train for 2 years and then be a ballerina. That's not how it works. She's like, I'm not saying she did a good job. I'm actually really proud of her that she won. I'm happy, all these things. But, like, at the same time, like, you have to recognize my work and what I brought to it. I thought it's interesting. Like, I don't remember if she thanked her. Well, she must not have in her speech when she won. But I can totally see a producer being like, can you stop? Because Natalie is the star right now. Like, that makes complete sense.
For sure. There is a quote here from Darren Aronofsky. He says, honestly, 85% of that movie is Natalie. There are 139 dance shots in the film. 111 are Natalie Portman untouched. 28 are her dance double, Sarah Lane. If you do the math, that's about 85% Natalie.
Also, Darren Aronofsky, like, I don't know that I like him because when he, I never saw the movie Mother, but he was promoting that movie. He was on some panel or something, and he was dating Jennifer Lawrence at the time, who's in the movie. I believe she plays the mother. And he went on a whole thing about, like, how... Is it Edgar Ramirez who's in that movie? No.
No, Javier Bardem.
Yeah, how he's, like, a great actor, and he does all these fun things, like, gushing about it. And when they asked him about Jennifer Lawrence, he was like, oh, she takes direction well. And it seemed like he wasn't giving enough shine to Jennifer Lawrence, who was doing more than just, like, listening to him. Like, she was actually
literally ripped her diaphragm during that film.
So it feels, and also, like, I read too that Darren Aronofsky tried to, not knowing that Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis knew each other, trying to pin them against each other behind the scenes to make it, like, feel authentic, but yet they knew each other, so they were like, no. So he seems kind of like a toxic individual, and, like, but he frames it as, like, it's for my art, which I hate. So, nah, fuck him, but nah. So when he says stuff like that, like, I don't know.
I'm not going to lie. I thought Darren Aronofsky was the one that Natalie Portman started dating after the film. No. And I thought that's who she married. I didn't realize.
That's funny.
Wait, who?
I don't know.
She married her dance partner in
the main male dancer.
Yeah, he also choreographed the movie.
They're currently possibly separating and divorcing, but
that's whose baby's in her belly when she won.
Oh, I didn't know.
They fell in love through dance. Isn't that gorgeous?
Beautiful. Literally dreams come true. Yeah, Darren Aronofsky as a person, I've never heard anything positive about him. But as a director, I have to give it to him. The stupid ass bitch has talent. Why is it? Look, all these bad men get a chance at making stuff. How about we just let just everyone make stuff, even if they're not bad?
Have you seen any of his other films, Joy?
What is his other stuff? Hold on, let me see.
Mother, Requiem for a Dream is his most popular, I would argue.
The Fountain, The Wrestler.
There you go. Anna's got it.
No,
I think this is the only one of his that I've seen.
Okay. The Whale.
Nope, didn't see that either. Yeah, I haven't seen anything of his other than this.
Crystal, what have you seen?
Hold on, let me get my Letterboxd open one moment.
I've seen Requiem for a Dream, The Fountain. Yeah, just those three, actually.
Sorry. Pause. Someone sing a song. So, like, the waiting music. Do, 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 do. Oh, can we use that? Sorry.
What's the Wii music that you always sing?
Do, 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 do,
do, do, do, do, do. That will never leave my...
Yeah, I don't know how much of that we can use either, so that doesn't work.
I mean, I don't know that anybody's, like, searching for a podcast that Lomi listens to for, like, copyright issues, but, you know.
They'll be like, oh, they've got 5 listens total? I guess we'll let it slide. It's probably those three just repeating, listening to themselves.
Yeah. It's not hurting us, our sales at all. It's fine.
Right. I've always wanted to watch The Wrestler ever since it came out, because it, like, even back then, when I didn't really know what Oscar buzz was, I was like, oh, the Oscars, this movie, blah, blah, blah.
From what I hear, it's a very similar story to Black Swan, in that Black Swan is focusing on her starting her career, whereas The Wrestler is Mickey Rourke at the end of his career. Similar vibes.
I believe the original concept was to have them in, like, the same movie, kind of, like, paralleling and mirroring each other.
Okay.
And then he scrapped that and did Black Swan on its own.
So I've only seen, other than Black Swan, Requiem for a Dream. But according to this, he directed episodes of Supermarket Sweep.
I was just looking at that.
And I've seen that too, so.
That's definitely some Hollywood trivia. Who would have thought Darren Aronofsky directed Supermarket Sweep in 1991?
It says it's a short film, a 17-minute short film from 1991. Oh. So it's not the show.
I'm still logging. Well,
that sucks. Okay. He was cool for like 5 seconds. Let's talk about the lighting in this movie. The lighting in this movie, who was doing the lighting? Because it was so well done. Let me go to the letterbox and find out who the lighting director was, because holy shit, especially like the way that first scene, the first dance where she's like narrating,
yeah,
the lighting on her, and especially the way the camera follows it around, that I just love. I already saved it to post it on Instagram. The shadow going across her face and her arm as she does that like reach, fucking delicious. I just like, the whole time I was watching it, I did not necessarily make a shot list of this because it just would have been like 90% of the movie, but just like everything in that first dance sequence, I was like, I'm eating this up, it's so good. It's like,
yeah, I think whoever did understood dance and how like it's about the lines and elongating in themselves and creating these shapes with your body. And I think they understood that. And so they shot it, or they lit it in the best way possible.
Yeah, because like even everything in her, even her house is like very poorly lit, and everything is in a shadow, and everything is just has this air of just like suspense.
Yeah.
Theatrical chief lighting was Lauren McDougal.
Okay. Hey. Well,
thank you, Lauren. You did an amazing job. Way to go.
Yeah, Lauren.
Lauren? Okay. Lauren McDougal. Good job. You did great. It just, it's so, like, the environment, the ambiance, like, I was, like, creeped out the entire time. So much of this movie is creepy. There's so many layers of creepiness on top of it that it just works so well. Because I'm, like, part of it is, like, it's, oh, I'm disgusted. It's, like, horrible. It's gross. And, like, the body horror element, the, like, her mother infantilizing her and abusing her element. Like, that was just a whole fucking trip. Like, this is psychological horror. Like, so well done and so, just so deeply, deeply interesting in the relationships, the few relationships that she has with other people. Her parasocial relationship with her mom. Her, like, mirroring Mila Kunis situation. Even with Winona Ryder. Oh my God, I love Winona Ryder. Even with Winona Ryder, like trying to become her. Oh my God. It's just so, so complex.
What do you guys think of the theory of her mother even like sexually abusing her?
I mean, abuse, yes. Sexual, I don't think so.
There was moments, people say, because they see the mother's face briefly when Mila Kunis is going down on her. And then also when she's like, do you, something about going into the bathroom to change and shower. She goes, I'm coming in. She goes, no, I can go by myself. Mm-hmm. Do it by myself.
I mean, maybe I could see why, but I don't think so.
It reminds me of, I don't know if either of you have read Jeanette McCurdy's I'm Glad My Mother's Dead book, her memoir. Mm-hmm. Very good. Some hard shit in there. But she talks about how up until the age of 16, no, it might have been 16 or 18 when she was off on her own filming a movie for the first time. That was the first time in her life that she was able to shower without her mother bathing her and washing her body. And while it might not be inherently sexual, it is still like sexual abuse because washing her private part, like washing parts of her body that she shouldn't be seeing at that age.
Maybe that's what I mean. I don't mean it like it wasn't the thought process. I don't know, but like maybe in the mother's head, she didn't think of it as a sexual act. She thought of it as like, I'm taking care of my child. I'm right. You know, so it's messed up, but like, I can't, that makes sense. The whole correlation of it being a sexual act, but like not being
not seeing it that way.
Yeah.
I also think it's like, because the majority of it is just like control. Like this is just,
yeah, exactly.
And like, not to be that person, but a lot of the problems with like parents having children is they just have children to have like a mini me, just because like in their heads they think like, oh, this one's going to do everything that I couldn't do. They're going to do everything that I was supposed to do, and I'm going to mold them, and they're going to be the person that I want them to be. Rather than thinking like they should be their own entity, they're their own consciousness, they're going to do it on their own. So like, I think a lot of that is the element of control. Like Dina does nothing, absolutely nothing up until this movie without her mother knowing about it or without her mother being involved. So that is just like an extreme, extreme control version. And I could see that like, yeah, especially with the like bathroom comment, I could see that it, you know, some people could read it that way. And that wouldn't be far off from the character. I don't think it would. I think it would still make sense for the character.
Yeah. Also, the fact that her mother just always was calling like the person who works at the front desk to like check in and get all, I'm like, lady, calm your tits.
Get away from her. Get a job.
Seriously. What does she do all day? Does she just like paint creepy pictures of her daughter? Like it's. She doesn't have a job?
Well, I mean, I think about it. If she was also a dancer and the way that she's telling her about her career, it implies that, like, she got pregnant by someone who wasn't. In my head, I kind of wrote it as, like, her director got her knocked up and then said bye and dipped. And so she had to, like, raise this child. And she probably was also from a had a dance mom who was very clingy and controlling, and so she doesn't really know any other way.
Right.
It's a cycle, man. It's like it happens in smaller things all the time. Like that's control is the key word in all of that.
Yeah.
Also, I had major like this is hitting too close to home. Whenever she got the cake, and then her mom's like, well, I guess I'm just, like, the worst mother ever. I can't believe I did this. And it's just like, oh, how many times have I heard that?
Queens of a guilt trip, man. Like,
yeah.
Girl.
Parental guilt trip's the worst. And then also, she's like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll just throw it away.
So first of all, dramatic. Why are you getting a cake that big? There's two of you. Secondly, I can tell the cake tastes disgusting. So, yes, ma'am, throw it in the trash.
It looks crusty.
Gross. That looks worse than like the crusty ones in Walmart and the thing that have been there for like a week. I can guarantee you it tastes disgusting.
But also, if she's the uptight ballerina mother that we all think she is, why the hell is she getting her a cake?
Because she wants to trap her and wants to test her, see if she'll actually do it. See if like, oh, how strong are you really? Were you going to give into this cake? Are you going to give into pressure? Like, it's so messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So either way she reacted would have been wrong.
Exactly. Just set her up for disaster because she's a fucking nut. Ugh. I found myself like, for obvious reasons, feeling so sorry for her. But, like, I knew at the end how it was going to end. Like the final performance. So I was like, come on, girl, you can do it. Just push through. I know this is, like, crazy and you're feeling, you thought you may have killed somebody. Forget about that. Get to performance. Come on. Come on. Like, I was, like, reading for her so much. But I knew it wasn't going to happen. So I was like,
the show must go on. Even if
also, what is your opinion? Does she die at the end or not?
I don't think so. I think maybe she may have passed out.
Of exhaustion? But,
because she probably wasn't eating. She was clearly having an eating disorder. She was stressed. She didn't sleep, probably. You know, and it kind of culminated to this grand thing, and she felt released because she said, I was perfect. So I felt like that was the end of that in that sense, like that part of it. But I don't think she actually died. I think she just, you know, had a nervous breakdown.
There's two schools of thought. And the first that Natalie Portman subscribes to is that at first she was like, I don't like the idea of the blood getting on her tights because it looks like she's menstruating. And they're like, no, that's fine. That's okay. Like, we want it to look, that's fine. Like, that's an okay look. So Natalie Portman said she interpreted it as a second puberty, like a second coming of age. Like, she's separated herself from her mother. She's becoming her own woman now. So when she falls off the thing, she is a new woman. Darren Aronofsky says no, she dies.
Well, we know we don't like him, so fuck him.
That she really did stab herself and that she dies at the end.
But I think the fact that it's not explicitly said is also good.
Yeah.
When a movie doesn't, like, force feed you or spoon feeds you information, kind of leaves up for interpretation, I feel like it's a good move. Because it opens up for discussion, such as this. I think I agree with Natalie. I feel like it's a rebirth situation, and maybe after she, in my head, she passes out and wakes up in the hospital or whatever, and is anew. She's ready to conquer whatever's later going on.
So in your interpretation, do you believe that she stabbed herself with the glass or not?
Maybe not as deep, but maybe a little bit. Because, like...
So, like, not a fatal wound.
A fatal wound. But then again, whenever she was, you know, peeling the nails off or whatever, it actually didn't happen. She would look at it later and her hand was fine. But she did hurt herself when she was dancing, like, her ankle... And then he dropped her on her knee. I had to look away. That was awful. My knees hurt just looking at that. I think she may have stabbed herself just a little bit.
I think, like, the rational part of me wants to say, like, okay, so the other times where she was, like pulling her body apart, it didn't actually happen to her for real. So I want to say that this didn't really happen to her for real. But the caught up in the drama romantic version ending up for me is that she's dead.
Someone dying is dead? Or someone dying is romantic?
No, but you know, in the rom dramas, they all die in the end, or someone dies and everyone's sad.
It's a tragedy. It's a romantic tragedy. It's Romeo and Juliet.
A tragedy, and this is a tragedy.
I mean, in the Swan Lake, she does die, so it would make sense. Because this is essentially Swan Lake, just like a modern telling of it.
Right, like poetic justice, like she would fall to the same fate.
So then you think that she stabbed herself?
Yeah, I think like the tragic ending would be fitting, I think. So I think that's what would happen. But I also like the not knowing. Yeah. It doesn't need confirmation, I think.
I think what helps
just like she makes her decision and that's all that matters, and we don't really need to know the future past that.
I think what helps the notion of that she actually saw herself is she actually has a rash because her mom is like, you keep itching it, it's still there. So she has like a fixation with like, you know, mm-hmm. hurting herself, even a little bit of like rubbing a scab or making it bleed or whatever. Because I don't think that she stabbed Winona Ryder. I don't think that happened. I think that was, I guess, in her head.
So you don't think Winona, because in her vision, Winona Ryder stabs herself.
Herself, yeah.
That's what Natalie
said. Oh, okay. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't look at it because I knew it was happening, so I looked away. So I don't remember who stabbed who.
Yeah, she puts the nail file down and she grabs it and stabs herself.
Oh, okay. Then
but it can be interpreted that Nina went in there and stabbed her.
I don't think she did that. Because she was saying, like, I understand. Like, I get it now. I understand why you are the way you are. So it would feel, to me, at least weird that Natalie Portman would stab Winona Ryder. Or maybe Winona stabbed herself. I mean, she did jump in front of a bus. So it's not, like, impossible.
Or did she?
Well, then that's another can of worms, I guess.
Well, you know what? What makes it so great, what's so great that, like, we can sit here and discuss this is that so much of the film's, like, imagery and iconography is all distorted. Nothing is ever what it seems. There's mirrors everywhere. She's always self-critical, but it's never a, like, actual clear vision. It's never exactly what's in front of you. It's always, like, the vision of her turning around in the mirror, or, like, she sees her black swan self, or she sees Mila Kunis. It's always a distorted version of reality. You don't know. It's not meant to be clear. What is it that is actually happening? And that's what's such a great part of the story, especially, like, I love when she, like, runs into her mom's bedroom when she's, like, freaking out, and all the paintings and all the drawings start, like, coming to life and, like, yelling at her. That was just so, it was so gritty and, like, intense. It was so good. It was such a good scene. But I don't think anything is meant to be clear to us, because it's not clear to her. She's having, like, a psychotic break because of this. And she's obviously been under an enormous amount of stress and abuse. So, like, her mind's not right. She's not seeing things correctly. So we're definitely not going to see anything correctly.
I just saw a note here that says that in almost every scene of the film, there is a mirror or a reflective surface, except for the very end in that final dance number. When she is her true dark self.
That final dance number is phenomenal.
You know how many times I watched it over the last couple?
The Black Swan makeup is, the sequence where she's, like, becoming herself, you know, as you said, and, like, her skin is changing. Oh, my God. The face acting, Natalie Portman. She just, I don't know who was, we'll get to the categories later, but phenomenal job, Natalie Portman. Phenomenal.
That whole sequence, her acting throughout. Because I went into this thinking, I was like, okay, let's see if she really deserves it. Am I just thinking she deserves it because I saw it back then and I thought it was really great and she was really great. But now understanding things a little bit better with my film eyes, I'm like, wow, like, she really did the work. And I think she's so well personified, like, both the innocence of the white swan and the, like, intensity of the black swan. She did such a good job in that last scene, like, turning it on, and you saw it in her body language, in her face, in her eyes, and her, just, like, everything, head to toe. It was just, like, a completely different person. She finally found herself and came into her own and was confident in, like, a violent way, but it was so strong. There was so much presence. It's just such a great scene.
I also like that Natalie Portman changed her voice. She had a slight higher register, rather than her, like, her voice is lower normally. I like that. And it's that choice I didn't realize until I was watching, like, videos of her afterwards. I was like, oh my God, her voice is different. That's fantastic.
That was a big thing, her voice, because when she was younger, some director or producer had told her, like, you still sound like a little girl. No one's ever going to cast you as, like, a woman. So she spent years with a voice teacher, like, working on making her voice lower. So when she got this part and they needed the innocence of Nina, she had to like kind of reverse her training, and it was very hard for her to do that higher register voice and that softer voice because she had been trained for so long to do the opposite. But also what I really love about that final dance sequence is the sound editing. It really gives you like that like shivering feeling of like the feathers coming out and those looks that she would give the camera. Beautiful. Mwah. I love it so much.
To continue with the sound, I loved how you heard feathers everywhere, whether she was on the subway. And it was subtle, like the cars were passing and it kind of just sounds normal, but then you listen and you hear it, the flutter. When she's walking down the street, you hear the flutter, but it's mixed in with the sounds of the of people walking in their shoes. Fantastic. Sound mixing. Yeah, amazing. It was so subtle every time, but I heard it almost every scene, I think. Yeah, so good.
It's a good year for sound mixing for the sound categories. It's a really good year for sound categories.
Too bad it wasn't nominated.
Yeah, I know, but again, tough year, strong year. There, the slow-mo shot of her foot going up. What is it called? Is it plié? I don't know what the thing is. I forgot what the thing is. When she goes from like flat-footed to like when she's rehearsing on point. Yeah, she's rehearsing in the apartment, and it goes slow-mo, and the sound just cuts to just the pressure of the foot on the wood paneling and the turn of her bone. Oh God, it was painful. And it was so visceral, and it was so well done.
I think that's so cool when ballerinas literally like levitate for like a second as they're jumping onto their toes. I love that. I think that's so cool. Dancers are amazing. ballerinas especially. Like, ballet is so, I like it as much as I love classical music because it's the basis of all dancing, as classical is the basis of all music. I feel like I can't grab the words because I love it so much. Like, I've been able to see a ballet one time and it was fantastic. And I just think like, these people are so astonishing. I wish I could see this all the time. Like my dream is to see the Nutcracker for Christmas. I would die. Like, I remember watching it it was like Macaulay Culkin was in it when I was like in elementary school. We watched it in music class, and watching it as an adult, I'm like, this movie is whatever. But like, all I just wanted is the dancing. And I remember being so amazed by these people. Like, oh my God, like they just keep spinning. Like, ugh, I love it. I love it so much.
What was that ballet we went and saw?
Not Cinderella.
Sleeping Beauty?
Alice in Wonderland.
It was Alice in Wonderland. Okay. I saw something about Alice in Wonderland coming back, or like it was in town or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that'd be fun. Wait a minute. I saw that one. I was having like I could not remember for the life of me. But I also saw that Dracula is coming. I thought that would be fun to see.
Ooh, Dracula is a ballet?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Go see that, please.
That sounds really cool.
And then tell me how
it says the woman who lives by the New York City Ballet.
Excuse me, ma'am. Do you know how expensive those tickets are? Although I think I am going to go get to see Lincoln Center. I think Lincoln Center is doing Vivaldi's Four Seasons. And bitch,
no, they're not.
And they're only doing it for like a week. So I told Benjamin, I was like, I need you to take a day off. I need you to take a night off work. I need you to not be bartending this night. I need to go see this. I need to see it. And actually, the tickets, I don't give a fuck if they're way up there. The sound quality is beautiful in that auditorium. I will go. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to, ugh. And then I watched this movie right after I saw that commercial, and I was like, the music.
Yeah. Opera tickets, and probably ballet as well. If you don't mind where you're sitting, you can find them pretty reasonably.
Yeah, like when I went to the opera, I've only gone the one time. It was at Lincoln Center.
What did you go see?
I have the thing. I don't remember which one it was, but it was Italian and it was beautiful. And like, I was sitting there just like riveted by these voices. But it was, no, the tickets were really cheap. I was in the sky, basically, but it was $40. It was like, yeah, it was nothing. So it just, it was the train ride there and then the $40. And I was like, holy shit, I need to do this more. And there's some that, like, I was looking at tickets for other ones first. But that one, it was like in the middle of the run and it wasn't a super popular opera. It wasn't anything that I recognized, not that I would recognize all of them. But it was still really good. It was really dramatic. Like, obviously it's dramatic, but like, this woman and this man are in love, but like he's getting arrested and he's getting taken away and she like wants to see him and she's trying to save him. And oh my God, it was peak drama. It was great. But for fucking Vivaldi, I don't care. I'll use the credit card. I'll do something. I have to see it. It has to happen.
I love that for you.
The four seasons are so special to me. I like, I want to cry. Okay, anyways, keep going.
Cry. No, tell us, cry. It's just us. And our yes, one
literally,
listener.
Literally,
it's just us.
I don't know. The idea of just seeing it live, like, all right, back to this movie.
While she's in this state, let's bring up that her man is in this movie.
Oh my God.
And I'm surprised from Sebastian Stan.
Baby Sebastian. He's so cute.
I forgot about that.
Very young. I mean, very early in his career, Sebastian, like 20 something, fresh off Gossip Girl, Sebastian. Like,
oh, this was around Gossip Girl time? Okay.
Yeah, it was, I think he was still in Gossip Girl at this point. He was still like doing some like cameos, like a couple episodes a season. I think this was around season 3. I still know this. So this was like peak Sebastian love. So I was like, oh, Sebastian, it was great.
And it's in New York, so he was already there. So he was like, yeah, I'll pop in. Yeah, so and not that I'm upset or anything, but the other guy, I forgot his name, is also like his best friend.
Oh, from really?
That movie they were in together about like witches or something. I forgot
the Covenant. Oh my God.
It was, he met him and Chase Crawford on that movie. They yes. all became friends. Taylor, all of them became friends. And
yeah.
So they're both in this movie and they're so cute. He's so cute.
Toby Hemingway?
Yeah.
They're so they're
like besties.
Cute. Oh my God, that's the cutest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was so cute.
Yeah, he was like so young in this, but he's so cute. I love him so much.
He turned whatever age, I forgot, while I was in New York with Joy, and we were hoping to like see him somewhere, and it didn't happen.
40. He turned 40, right?
I don't know.
I think it was his 40th or his 41st. I don't know.
It's not like we know. Let's see. He's right here.
It's probably 41, I think.
Is it? I don't know. I haven't
was
kept
it
up with
last year. Was it 2022?
No, like this, like a few weeks ago, like 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, his birthday's in August 12th or something.
Yeah, he's a Leo.
Oh yeah, he was turning 41.
Okay, is it August 12th?
Yes. 13. No, 13.
13. Okay. My bad. I'm clearly out of the obsession era because
not real fans.
I've moved on. No. It's just I'm. There's other things in my brain. At one point I didn't know all those facts. I could tell you like that, but I have a life now.
That's nuts. I love that. Where was I?
Like, I'm not surprised, but I hated how inappropriate her mom and the director were. Yeah. And how he's like, this is for your art. Mm-mm. Or even that guy in the subway, like, oh, stop. I don't.
That's again, a cameo from Requiem from a Dream. Same guy did the same thing in that movie. Okay. Something like that.
Listen, that movie fucked me up. Like,
it's a rough ass movie.
That's a hard watch, y'all. Like, I'm gonna cry again. It was.
That's why I've never seen that movie. I'm scared that it's gonna fuck me up a little too much.
I felt some kind of way about it. And it
turned me off of doing ever trying drugs.
Oh, that's good.
And then I was like, I'm gonna do drugs. And then I saw this movie, I was like, I'm not gonna do drugs.
But it's I don't want to ruin it for you, Joy, because it is, I don't know if it's like a must watch or like a film watch, or maybe it is. But
I think it's a film watch.
I think it is a film watch because it's widely spoken of. And I feel like it's better to watch at least two movies of a director to get a feel of how they are.
because this movie is excellent. Black Swan is excellent. But I didn't think that of, I didn't think, well, again, I watched Requiem for a Dream when I was like early 20s. So I don't know if I had enough maturity to really absorb it as well as I should have. So I kind of want to watch it again. Only because, like we said before, we have better film eyes. We have just a better understanding of film in general. And I think I'd be able to pick up on the things that I missed the first time around. But it really shook me to my core. And I had to just sit and stare at the wall because it was just... And I had no idea what it was about. I went on blindness, went in as blind as possible. And I was shaken. I was shook.
I watched it for the first time within the last couple of years. I want to say it was pandemic-esque era.
You watched it during the beginning of the pandemic?
No. I watched it, like, in the last 3 or 4-ish years.
Okay. Jesus.
And, yeah, watching it with a film brain, I think you would appreciate it a lot more. I mean, it's still a rough watch, but...
I think maybe because I know what I'm in for, I might be better prepared. Because going into a movie blind and then being shaken by it is very jarring, and it's too much. So I'll try it again later.
Yeah, maybe once we get to that year of films.
When we're 85.
You know, the only time that there was any sort of lightheartedness or comedy in this at all was when her phone went off and the ringtone was Swan Lake. That was the only time that I was like, oh, all right, we can lay off the heavy shit for like 2 seconds. I love...
Or when Mila Kunis called, that was, this is Tom and this is Jerry. That's when I laughed.
Okay, that too.
All right, that's when I laughed. I was like, ha ha, that's funny. And he's like, it's actually Andrew.
I'm so intrigued by the Swan Lake story, and I love that it's what do you call it? It's such a metaphor, a thing, a whatever. Basically just for the Madonna whore complex. And it's even more evident with these two because like they're so opposites of each other. But I just love whenever that's used in like in media and TV and film, and it's done in a very like it's well executed, and I love that. And I was watching a TikTok the other day, just of like the layers to that and the complexity, when you put in, not that it was anything having to do with in here, but when you bring in race into it and colorism into it, the Madonna whore complex kind of like expands and there's more to it. But I just love that they were foils each other. I've always been so intrigued with like the duality of men and just like the extremes of people and like how the spectrum of like existence in a presentation. So it's just such a good story to pick. And even though it's been done and we've seen it, it's done so well and so interestingly, and it's got so many like juicy little details, that I think this story is still great. I'm not bored by it. It's intriguing and innovative enough that like I don't mind seeing this story again.
You know? Yeah, it's like. And like I'm trying to think of like it, what my words are, and actually they're gone. Any last notes? I guess
they were right there. They were right there.
I'm really great at words. I'm so sorry.
If you go back and listen to our episode of The Artist, which is probably one of our favorites that we've done recently, you will see my thoughts or hear my thoughts. Literally leaving my brain. There's a sound effect they make. It's like a
it's gone. Yeah, I heard that too.
And it's just like,
and I just heard it now for you. So I feel your pain.
Yes.
Oh okay. My god, that was really funny.
Next time is on you, Joey.
Next time it's me. What are we watching next?
Actually, no. Your time was this episode. You're like, didn't know how to say your name or when to go next or all that.
I didn't know it was my turn. I forgot.
You are always after Crystal.
And she said this like past 3 episodes, Joy.
Okay. I don't It's just
so brain. Next time it'll be you, then me, then Crystal.
Well, I'm going first, so I won't forget.
No, you need to remember anyway.
You're smart girl, Joy. You can do this.
God, I don't know about that.
Okay, so pop quiz. If Anna goes first, when do you go?
Well, you would go next.
Right? Okay, what about me? What if I go first? If it's my intro, when do you go?
Then it's me.
And then what?
And then if I go first, it's just me.
She doesn't have enough space to worry about when others go.
So then it's almost as if every time you go after me, right?
Okay.
Or like ABC order, right?
Yeah, see, that's what was confusing.
Okay, so Anna's name starts with a what? An A, right? Okay.
No, I got it now, but in the moment okay, I was C. like, wait.
And then what letters your name start with?
Where does the alphabet go? They J. just okay. jumbled so together.
Like, can you put those three letters into alphabetic order? Go.
That's what it is. A C J.
So, any last notes before we go to categories?
What a good film.
What a good
film.
What a good.
Dance. Thank you.
So, obviously, we agree that it should be in Best Picture. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Do we think Darren Aronofsky should be nominated for Best Director?
He goes against who?
Yeah.
He is against Tom Hooper for The King's Speech, David O. Russell for The Fighter, David Fincher for The Social Network, Joel Cohen, Ethan Cohen for True Grit. Tom Hooper won.
What? Oh, God. Oh,
we'll get there. But I do think he deserves to be there. I think he did a good job.
He did a fantastic job.
He's a messy bitch, but he did a good job.
He is a messy ass bitch, but he's a man, so what can we expect? The bar is below the floor.
And better. We can expect better. Because if we keep saying what can we expect, then we're going to keep letting it happen. But if we expect better, we'll demand better.
It's not my responsibility for them to do better. It's their fucking responsibility. If they can't do better, I shouldn't have to tell them to do better. They should do it on their own with their little dumbass man brains.
Points remain on both sides.
But I understand your point. I get your point.
I mean, you're both right. Both of you can be right.
I will 100% hold them accountable, but it's not my responsibility if a man fucks up. That's a man's fucking problem.
I never said it.
Both of those things are true.
Yeah, you're both right.
Harmony.
I mean, it sounded like that when you hit your desk just now.
I barely touched my mic.
I only heard like a little like wave sound waves.
It was perfect. Yeah,
it wasn't like a bang. It was just like a sound waves.
Right. Okay. So we do agree that Natalie Portman should have won Best Actress.
Yes.
Wait, who?
Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right. Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole. Jennifer Lawrence Winter's Bone and Michelle Williams Blue Valentine.
Oh shit! I finally got to watch Blue Valentine now. Oh shit. I'm ready for that. It's been many years.
I've seen most of these, and I'd have to rewatch Blue Valentine. I do remember liking her in that movie, but I don't remember why. The movie's very good, actually. But I'd stick with Natalie Portman. I think she was phenomenal.
The only one I haven't seen is Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone, but we'll get there.
I mean, you've seen Hunger Games. It's basically the same thing. But whatever, we'll get to that.
Anyways, Natalie Portman got my vote.
What?
Natalie Portman's got my vote.
Yeah, same. So then next is Best Cinematography. The ingredients. The nominees were True Grit, Roger Deakins, The Social Network, Jeff Cornowith, The King's Speech, Danny Cohen, Black Swan, and Inception, Wally Feister. I agree it should be here. I thought it was great in that regard.
Who won?
Inception.
Fair. Fair. Again, a tough year.
It's hard to argue that for sure.
Yeah, there's three, at least three very, very fucking phenomenal people in this cat like nominees. So we'll see as I go rewatching them where they're gonna rank for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm very excited. I love being impressed. I was very impressed.
So far, so good. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know, even 127 hours for what it was, sure. You're all right.
So speaking on that, film editing, King's Speech, The Fighter, Black Swan, 127 hours, and the winner was The Social Network.
Oh, well. Yeah.
I mean, I agree it should be here, film editing. Yeah. But again, Social Network, I haven't seen that in maybe since it came out. And I remember being blown away. And that was before I had an education. So I can't wait to rewatch that.
Me too. I'm very hyped.
Yeah, so that's it. Black Swan. Any last notes before we wrap it up?
I have a feeling we all have put this above 127 hours in our ranking.
No, it's so let's do our ranking together. Ready? So number two is
127 hours,
right? And then number one is
Black Swan.
Black Swan. There we go. Yeah. Good job, class. A plus all around.
I love dance. I love swans. And you love, I love a good tragedy.
You love, I thought you were gonna say I love black.
I love black too.
You said I love swans, I love tragedy.
What a good film. I almost wasn't, not that I didn't think I was gonna like it, I just didn't know if I was gonna like love it as much as I did the first time. But wow, my film brain really made this an even better experience.
You know what I just thought about? Mm-hmm. So Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman eventually are going to be in rom-coms. The same rom-com, but just different people. So Natalie Portman's in the one with Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
And Mila Kunis is the one with Justin Timberlake. So fast forward, Ashton Kutcher gets married to Mila Kunis. And Natalie Portman marries the guy that... not. Mila Kunis is all up on in this movie. And actually, when I first moved to New York that, like, first week, they were shooting the Justin Timberlake one in Central Park. It was Mila Kunis and him, like, they were sitting at a table. I don't know if they were shooting or just rehearsing or whatever, but I was like, oh, I need to watch that movie, and I never watched it. But I saw them filming that scene. I was like, oh, my God, cool.
That one is the lesser one. If you're going to watch one, watch the one with Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, I'm not going to watch any of them, actually. But I only just wanted to watch that one because I saw
they're fun.
They're for the viewers. They're
not my kind of movie.
They're for the rom-com viewers. So the rom-com viewers take Anna's suggestion.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Because God bless Justin Timberlake. Boy can't act.
Oh, he cannot. No.
No. No.
Although... he was really good in The Social Network because he was an asshole, and I think he's like that in real life. So, same like with Henry Cavill's good at asshole roles because he is an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will never forget watching that Justin Timberlake movie with Amanda Seyfried, and there's a scene where Olivia Wilde has to die, spoiler alert, and he's like crying, and I literally heard people in theater laughing.
Oh, my God.
It was so bad. He's like, Mom, no. I was like, is he for real? Is this a joke? Is this an SNL skit got cut? Like,
that bad, huh?
Yeah, it was real bad. So, yeah, don't.
He cannot don't act watch Justin Timberlake.
It's called In Time. The concept was really interesting, but the movie itself was... it was based on the concept that, like, time is money. So in that movie, time was actually money. They, like, after, I think, 25, they're given, like, an amount of time on their wrist, and they have to use it wisely. They work, and they get more time. It means their lives are extended. That's people die early because they can't afford to get more time. It's very interesting. It's just poorly executed. Mm. But anyways. All right, so that's it.
That's Black Swan.
Yeah. We'll watch Black Swan.
Yeah, it's great. Recommend for sure. Thanks for listening. Follow us on We're still calling it Twitter. Twitter and Instagram. We have Thoughts 3. Talk to us. Be our friends. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.